Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN, here with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at KSU and the Assistant Director of K-State Institute for Civil Discourse and Democracy. I'm Brady Bowman, and Davey wanted to go ahead and we'll lead off with some questions you might have had.
Yeah, and this is kind of straying away a little bit from the national
narrative. Oh, that's okay. That's good.
And I want to talk a little bit about some local matters and I think concerns. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I spoke with Riley County Clerk Rich Vargo.
Okay.
Friday is the deadline for people to register for the Republican or Democratic primary mm-hmm. election, mm-hmm. which is coming up on August 7th, Tuesday, August 7th. There has not been a single filing, an official filing yet for a county commission seat that's open.
Really?
There's been announcements, but no.
There's
no
been an announcement, but no official filings. Pottawatomie County has Dee McKee, and her term is up, but she has filed to run again. But nobody else has filed. Looking at some of the state legislative seats that are open, as of today, Tom Phillips, Cindy Carlin, Ron Hyland have no opposition. No one else has filed.
Yeah.
And so my question is, obviously, do people want to participate in an elected capacity? And I know it's not an easy gig. I know this for sure.
Yeah, right.
It has its rewards.
Yeah.
But this is going to become problematic if this is a trend that we're going to start seeing. And a lot of this is because of the accessibility and the way people just get hammered one way or another, regardless of your political stance on social media.
Yeah, no, I think you're noting a serious thing when we talk about kind of the health of democratic life, right? Having people put themselves out there and to step into these roles. I mean, these are important roles in communities, whether we're talking national politics, but you know, especially once you start getting down to local, kind of the local realm. A few things. So the first is, I think you're right. I mean, it's not even a presumed reality, but right, it's gonna come, right? That you're gonna get attacked for decisions that are getting made, and that's where I think, you know, some of the work that that I'm involved in with, for example, not directly, but also this broader kind of context, is that if we can think about some processes, ways that you know, people can understand why, say, county commissioners vote the way that they do, right? If it's clear, if it's kind of open, and people can make some sense of why the views that are leading to votes, for example, are being made, then that can be helpful, right? I mean, and that goes back to what I was saying a little bit ago, is even if I don't agree with you, I can better understand where you're coming from if we're able to talk about it, and I think that's true for elected politics. For politicians and for members of communities, for citizens, that's a serious issue that you're naming. I think the ease at which we can be, you know, I can be frustrated, but all of a sudden now that I can kind of use this megaphone and platform, and if it snowballs, it can be really detrimental, right, to the way that people are operating, and I would not think it would be very fun to constantly be attacked for literally every decision. I mean, especially at local politics, that kind of level, you're not talking about ideological things, right? You're talking about pretty, pretty functional infrastructure things. You're talking about tax base. I mean, it can become divisive in that way, and so that's serious. And then the other part that maybe is a little bit less at play in the examples that you named, but I think this is one of the other slides I will use today, is from that book that I mentioned earlier, The Big Sort. The number of competitive counties across the country over the time range that he uses, from 76 to 2004, it's amazing how many go from competitive to landslide counties, right, one way or the other. And I think that's detrimental, is that, you know, if we're only interacting with those who reinforce the views that we have, I think it's healthy for an exchange of ideas and competing views and values, and to be able to have that happen. Part of the backdrop in which we're existing right now in the political landscape is that we don't necessarily have that all the time, right? And I think that becomes another complicating factor to why maybe, you know, we're coming up on a deadline and there aren't a whole lot of people putting themselves out there because, you know, that's the candidate who's for the party that's going to win. So why am I going to waste my time? Why am I going to go out and put the signs in the yards and shake the hands? And or even if I'm really passionate about a number of causes, if it's you know, it's a bleak outlook, then what do I do? But you know, I think that's more of a backdrop in the particular cases that you're mentioning. But I think at the forefront of it really is, you know, this sense of frustration. And I was hearing it some last week when I was with, and these weren't elected officials, these were appointed local administrators, and still feeling, you know, how do we not just provide information to people, but really make people feel like they can understand the complexity to problems? And that's why I think I've mentioned it on previous times here, that things like participatory budgeting, not the most exciting name, but how do you bring people into a local scale and say, hey, we've got so much money, X number of dollars, what do we want to do with it, right? And people make proposals and think through it and working with local government. And then all of a sudden they realize, like, hey, we really would like to, you know, to have this after-school program, but we also need to pave these roads. We need to do this. And so what are we gonna invest in? And that's challenging work. That's hard work, but that's the real work that I think we need to get at.
Here with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at KSU and Assistant Director at K-State Institute of Civil Discourse and Democracy. And we got just about 2.5 minutes left, so maybe 90 seconds. Let's go talk about the two-party system in 90 yeah. seconds. That's a whole in focus on itself. But yeah. it sounds like, is that kind of a part of, in some ways, what Dave was mentioning with some of the vacancies and being how the two-party system works with that? I think you mentioned that sometimes it's just like, well, you're in a Republican county or a Democratic county. It always is that way. So why would I run as opposition?
So you know, a really quick anecdote to this. I grew up in Ohio. So, right, battleground state. It was always that way my entire life. And so you just knew that. When my wife moved there with me a number of years ago, she was from New York, right? And I remember her saying in one way or another, she's like, I had never really seen political ads before, right? And it was everywhere. It was on every corner. We had every opportunity. We lived in Dayton, Ohio at the time, right? We saw president and vice president candidates from both parties, right? You had everybody coming in. It was this kind of thing, right? And depending on where you are, we have this weird system, whether we're talking electoral college at the national level but just this kind of two-party divide. And there are some efforts to try to break some of that. Ranked choice voting, and so some of those kinds of things are starting to get implemented. Maine's going to experiment with this.
Choice voting.
I mean, so on a ballot, you would say, here's my top choice, here's my second choice, here's my third choice. And so if people are not meeting certain thresholds, then your votes will move accordingly, right? And other countries do this quite regularly. And so, we have examples of this nationally and internationally. And so part of it is, you know, how do we tweak some of these systems, right? A lot of what we do now has been in place for a long time. There are slight adjustments that could happen that could be really helpful. But, you know, to Dave's point, local politics is really important. And we need people to fill those roles. All these roles are vital to the health of a democratic society.
Very good. Hopefully we've solved the world's problems again.
We haven't done that, but at least we talked a little bit.
Dr. Timothy Schaefer, an assistant professor of communication studies at KSU and assistant director at K-State Institute for Civil Discourse and Democracy. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll definitely have you on next month. Not as much of a gap this next time.
We'll figure it out.
We will. We're done with In Focus.
Yeah.
Done with In Focus. Yeah. It's Wednesday, right?
Yep.
If you missed it, you can catch it online later today at newsradiokman.com.
Shop local. From flooring to inspiration to expert advice, Carpet One of Manhattan. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan.
CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by